Shabbat shalom. Talia has some handouts that I thought might help in the second portion of this parsha. Maseh is about the journey that Israel took through the wilderness. And this is a layout of chapter 33, along with some pictures that might help put it together a little bit. And the first portion of this parasha is matot, which is, well, it starts off with vows and the importance of keeping vows. So let's get into it. It all started with the book of Exodus that bears witness to Israel marching out defiantly in full view of all the Egyptians, in journeying to Mount Sinai, where God enters into the covenant with them. Then the book of Leviticus puts in place the tabernacle, purification laws that allow all people and nations to come before the Lord to receive the Lord's blessing, and how to treat with respect the sacred offerings dedicated to the Lord, so that we will not be disrespectful to God. Then the book of Numbers. The title in Hebrew, it really means in the desert, but it begins with the numbering of the Israelites. After that, the book reads like a suspenseful journey through the wilderness, beginning at Mount Sinai and moving to the desert of Paran, where spies were sent in to the Promised Land to report back about its people, cities, and agricultural potential. Caleb, and Joshua report good news on the land and trust the Lord will deliver it into their hands. But the other 10 spies were freaked out about this whole situation and spread a bad report. They didn't trust the Lord, and God accepts their choice not to go. So God sends the Israelites on a 40-year journey through the wilderness so that everyone from that generation above 20 years of age would die in the desert except Caleb and Joshua. Over the past 8 weeks, we've heard about Israel's experiences wandering in the desert. Think about it. Reminds us that God remains truthful and faithful to his promises, but will honor our choices to disobey and reject him. God's desire is that all will choose him, but with our free will and knowledge, we can spend this little time we have on this earth to follow any path. It's our choice. God made promises. He made a covenant, and he confirmed it to Isaac. He said, "To you and your descendants, I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham." Remember that God's word will not return empty, but will accomplish all that is promised. In Isaiah 55, it reminds us, "As the rain and the snow comes down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." So, how are we with keeping our promises? It's written in Numbers chapter 30, the first part of the parasha. This is what the Lord commands. When a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath of obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break this word, but must do everything he said. It continues on with the father and husband's responsibility to the family as well. And it really encourages men to listen to their wives and daughters, to communicate with them so they know what they're committing to. Often, I know my wife, she likes to help people out, and she'll, every once in a while, will say, "Oh, Jim can help you with that." And, you know, I come back and she lets me know, and I certainly try to do my best with helping. But it's Numbers 30 really helps us to clarify that, men, you can nullify these vows or promises or oaths if they don't feel right, and the Lord will accept that. All right, but if you're silent about it, then the Lord will expect it to be fulfilled. All right, man, you have an awesome responsibility here. So, I have three examples that I want to share with you. Just grabbed a few. But there's many here in the throughout the Bible. I want to go back to the book of Acts, and where a group planned to kill Paul. Some Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. More than 40 men were involved with this plot. They went to the chief priest and the elders and said, "We have taken a solemn oath not to eat anything until we have killed Paul." Well, we know how that turned out. And I don't think any of them starved to death. Or how about King Saul? When the Israelites were in distress because Saul had bound the people under an oath, saying, "Cursed is anyone who eats food before evening comes, before I have avenged myself on my enemies." So none of the troops tasted food. But Jonathan, King Saul's son, had not heard that his father had bound the people with an oath. So he dipped into some honeycomb, and his eyes brightened up. When King Saul found out that Jonathan had broken the oath, what do you think happened? Nothing. But let's consider Jephthah, a commander of the Israelites in Judges 11. Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will give me the Ammonites into my hands, then whoever comes out of the door of my house to meet me, when I return victorious from the Ammonites, it shall be the Lord's to be offered up by me as a burnt offering." That was his vow. Well, Jephthah came home victoriously, and there was his daughter coming out to meet him with timbrel and dancing. She was only a child. When she learned of her father's oath, she said, "My father, you have given your word to the Lord. Do to me just as you promised, now that the Lord has avenged you for my enemies. But grant me this one request." She said, "Give me 2 months to roam the hills and weep with my friends, because I'll never be married." So there arose an Israelite custom that for four days every year, the daughters of Israel would go out and lament the daughter of Jephthah. How important are vows? Matthew shares with us this in chapter 5 that Jesus said, "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your vow, but fulfill to the Lord the vow that you have made.' But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all." I remembered this, and Jephthah, as I was driving down to Chico this past week to help some friends, I prayed to the Lord to open my eyes to find a better path to help. Please give this into my hands, I prayed. What? No oath? No promises? Think about it. Do we think we can entice the Lord to give us what we want by promising something in return? Are we making a business deal with the Lord? These are things we often do with our children. If you're good, I'll get you some ice cream. No oath, no promises. I trust the Lord wants good things for us. My supplication simply provided an opportunity to see how the Lord is working in our community, regardless of the outcome. The Lord has a plan, and I'm okay with that. Did he give it into my hands, you may ask? Well, it's there, but will it bear the test of time? Consider what was written by the Jewish scribe Ben Shira. This was around the time of the Maccabee revolt. Before you speak, learn. And before you fall ill, take care of your health. Before judgment comes, examine yourself. And at the time of scrutiny, you will find forgiveness. Before falling ill, humble yourself. And when you have sinned, repent. Let nothing hinder you from paying a vow promptly. And do not wait until death to be released from it. Before making a vow, prepare yourself. Do not be like the one who puts the Lord to the test. Think of his wrath on the day of death, and of the moment of vengeance when he turns his face from you. In the time of plenty, think of time of hunger. In days of wealth, think of poverty and need. From morning to evening, conditions change. All things move swiftly before the Lord. Don't be left behind in the wilderness. Shabbat Shalom.